My dear friends in Christ, there has never been a happier society than the Holy Family. And it is interesting that Holy Mother of the Church gives us on this Feast of the Holy Family this gospel from St. Luke of that fifth joyful mystery, which is at the same time a bit of a sad story, the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. We, of course, know the joy of our Blessed Mother and St. Joseph upon finding him. But there is that admixture of sorrow. And so we see that even in this happiest of societies, this most perfect family, there are sorrows. And what is more, there are misunderstandings or miscommunications. And this is something that might seem surprising. The Holy Family is perfect, we know that. But yet, the human frailty of our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph still have a way of producing that sadness. It's very interesting. In a book that was Private Revelation, the author explained in rather great detail this mystery of the loss of the child Jesus in the temple and the finding, and what this meant to, especially to our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. Now, of course, Christ never did and never could make a mistake. He did not remain in Jerusalem on accident. He also did not let our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph go a day's journey by accident. And this author goes on to explain the sadness of our Blessed Mother and of Saint Joseph, that maybe we've heard stories of saints that had this sixth sense, so to say, of the presence of Christ. I believe it is recorded of Saint Francis Borgia. He had a sense of Christ in the tabernacle. He went into a church one time when the Blessed Sacrament was, for one reason or another, was moved to a side altar. But there was no indication of this. The sacristan had been sloppy and the sanctuary candle remained on the main altar. But yet St. Francis knew immediately Christ was there. And if this was true of the saints, we could understand that this was even more true of our Blessed Mother. And this was one of the great sadnesses that our Blessed Mother experienced on the days of searching. She could not sense her son. God had taken this ability, this grace away from her. And this, and we hear this in the question that she asks him. Why have you done this to us? This is not the question of a mother chiding her child, reprimanding, not in the least. This was a question of humility. What have we done to deserve this? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. But this was as with Simeon in the temple, with that prediction that a sword would pierce her heart, this was another foreshadowing of the sorrows that would be his and the sorrows that would be our Blessed Mother's. It was another opportunity as well for our Blessed Mother to gain merit, to be humbled. But nevertheless, even though there was an admixture of sadness in the Holy Family, there was never a happier place. It was from this perfect little family, after all, that salvation came to all of mankind. I believe in our times, there probably over all of history, there has never been a more crucial time for us to look to the Holy Family. Over the last century and increasingly over the last few decades, there has not been a stone unturned by Satan to destroy the family. The family is the cornerstone of society. Without a good family structure, society cannot exist. It is impossible. And so Satan has attacked this institution with relentless hatred. We see absolute abominations, which even 10 years ago we could not have imagined. Such strange things as families, quote unquote, with two moms or two dads. The general understanding that marriage isn't necessary. It's maybe an experimental thing, but really probably not necessary at all. How quickly, when the family dissolves, society dissolves. And we need to take from this feast today, the Feast of the Holy Family, courage that with a strong, holy family life, we can indeed affect society. This is where it begins. We tend to become overly worried about the leaders, the big decisions made in our country, presidential elections and such. But how much can we really affect those things? Very little, if at all. What we can affect is right here, in our own home. And the crucial part for the rest of the world is that we just simply give the example that is needed. If our family is a model, people will see it. It's amazing how people crave normalcy. People crave a good example, whether they know it or not. And what is more, people know a good example when they see it. I'm sure that we have all at one point experienced this. The sisters in their habits simply going about is a sermon to people. They see the habit as an indication that that person has given their life to God. What a remarkable thing, and people are usually in awe. The same with us in the workplace, even at the store, when a family is well-behaved in a store. This is something fairly remarkable these days. How often do you get compliments? My goodness, your children are well-behaved. What a good example. But really, this example, it needs to start even closer to home. It needs to start within the home. A reminder to parents that example really is everything. We can preach until we're blue in the face, but if we don't back up what we say by what we do, it means nothing. As much as you care about your faith, so will your children when they grow up. It is truly example that matters from parents. Your children see what you do. And to children, younger and older, we ought to look at our Lord and his example of obedience. Is there a more remarkable example of obedience in all of history? Of course not. Here is the creator of heaven and earth, who by rights should not have any superior. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and yet what do we read in the last part of the gospel for today? He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, to these fallible creatures. And so we have a duty to honor and obey our parents, even though it is difficult, to be a good example to our siblings, to be the pioneer, perhaps, in being obedient, and even above and beyond, to lend a helping hand, to not have to be asked to help around the house. Give that good example to your family. We have to remember that in every family there are difficult times. There's turmoil, there are different difficult circumstances. Again, the Holy Family suffered such things, so it is only natural that we too must suffer these things. But remember that it is in these moments that the strength of our family really proves itself. Let's remember too, for those of us that don't have, strictly speaking, families to care for or a family life at home, our parish here is really and truly a family. It is a spiritual family, and we need to treat it as such. Are we a good example to our fellow parishioners? We can do this in very simple ways, by participating in parish functions, coming to Mass often, being on time, showing reverence in church, and even going above and beyond these things. Maybe seeing if there are elderly in the parish that could use our help. Can we be of service? How can I help my spiritual family? My dear friends in Christ, let us look to the Holy Family. We have to realize that no matter the circumstances in the world, no matter the difficulties that we are going through, no matter the crosses that we are asked to carry, within the Holy Family we will find peace and contentment. Go to Joseph to learn of strength, obedience, quiet, loving care. Go to Mary, who is most like her divine Son and can teach us to imitate him better than anyone else. Go to Jesus. In him we can find every possible happiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.